Welcome to Just a Minute. You are most kind. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but also to welcome to the show four talented, humorous, vibrant personalities who are going to play Just a Minute. And they are seated on my right. We welcome back that extraordinary, exceptional, and talented comedian who's a fine exponent of this game, Paul Merton. And seated beside him, we have someone who's not played the game quite as often as the others, a very fine stand-up comedian and also a now a fine comedy actor, Chris Addison. And seated on my left, we welcome back that outrageous and individual comedian who's got great talent and great charm, that is Julian Clary. And seated beside him, we have another fine exponent of the comedy vein with a comedy acting and a stand-up work, and that is Sue Perkins. I'd like you to welcome all four of them. Thank you. And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Trudy Stevens, who's going to help me with the score. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from this new, magnificent Rose Theatre in Kingston upon Thames. And as you can hear, we have a fine, vociferous Surrey audience here, ready to cheer us on our way as we begin the show with Paul. Paul, very apt to begin with, when in Kingston on Thames, the subject is the River Thames. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Just 2 weeks ago, I found myself standing on the foreshore of the River Thames, filming a documentary for television about Alfred Hitchcock, who was born somewhere near the River Thames. If we look out of the theatre that we are now, obviously we have to go into the foyer, because in the round that we are here, there are no windows. We will see the magnificent thread of silver and crystal that runs through our capital city. The River Thames. Was it not Benedict Arnold who once said, "I've never heard of it"? It's one of the most beautiful rivers that this country has ever seen. If we look at the Great Nile...
Chris Addison's chance.
Repetition of look.
Yes. Yeah. You looked before and you looked again.
No, wait. You seem to have misunderstood how the game is played.
It's the Northern Line under this theatre.
Yes, those are the rules. I know you enjoyed it, but Chris had a legitimate challenge, and so he gets a point for a correct challenge. He takes over the subject, Chris, and there are 27 seconds available. The River Thames, starting now.
The River Thames is a proper river, unlike, say, the Zambezi or the Mississippi, which were made up for putting in songs. Like most rivers, it begins at the start and ends at the end of the river in question, which is... go on. Sue, go on.
Hesitation and slight lack of awareness about rivers.
I defy you to deny that it doesn't start at the beginning and doesn't end at the end.
Yeah, it winded, as did your delivery, which wound down.
Yeah, but a river rises at this point and goes out towards the sea.
That's right. It starts at the beginning and it ends at the end. In the vernacular.
So that's repetition,
but
then.
But that's what you didn't make clear.
So ends and end. Right. One is a verb, including an S, and one is a noun, without an S.
Sue still had a correct challenge.
Oh.
And you take over the subject, Sue, and a point, of course, to you. 14 seconds are still available. The River Thames, starting now.
Old Man River sits at the foot of the Thames in Kingston, where he stares out at Bentall's shopping centre and thinks to himself, thank goodness for that silver strip running across this beautiful town. At least it divides us from the chaff of the north, he thinks.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. It was Sue Perkins on that occasion, so I don't need to tell you that she's got 2 points, therefore is in the lead at the end of the round. Chris Addison, will you begin the second round? The subject is science fiction. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Science fiction is generally associated with the sort of boys who don't really find it easy to get girlfriends and yet also find it rather difficult to...
Sue Chan.
Curse you, English language, for only having one word for find.
Yeah.
So your challenge, sir?
Repetition of find.
Yes, find, yes. So, Sue, we've got another point. You've got the subject. You have 53 seconds. Science fiction starting now.
People who like science fiction want to explore brand new worlds whilst failing to understand simultaneously there's one they're living in right here and now. They don't seem to be interested in what happens outside their front door. Instead, they like to peruse comics and magazines which speak glibly of what...
Julian challenged.
There was a speak, which speak. Was...
Martians were communing through my small earthling mouth
were
at that
time. Were they Yiddish Martians?
They just had a slight speak impediment, these Martians. Don't mock them, though, they've got guns.
Your pace of delivery tripped you up and you went into speak, and you're challenging on deviation from language, I assume?
That's correct, deviation.
Oh, the irony.
Or English as we understand it.
Indeed.
Right, so, Julian, you've got in there, please say, with a point and the subject, and there are 37 seconds available. Science fiction starting now.
Science fiction isn't a literary genre that I've ever paid much attention to, but I can make some up on the spot for you, because I think it's that easy. Mr. Gobbledygook walked down the road and suddenly...
Paul challenged.
It's not that easy. Science fiction is more than Mr. Gobbledygook walked down the road.
He was about
Mr. Gobbledygook flew down the road in his special space station.
He was about to turn into a frog.
Not walked down the road.
Are you challenging on deviation?
Yeah, deviation.
That Gobbledygook is not science fiction.
Well, he said science fiction is easy. I said,
I don't
know,
but
is.
I think, I mean, to be fair to Julian, I think, you see, to some people, science fiction could sound like Gobbledygook. And maybe to Julian, who's never studied science at all, it could be Gobbledygook. So I think, legitimately, it was an incorrect challenge. So, benefit of the doubt, no doubt, to Julian. Another point to you, Julian. You keep the subject, and there are 21 seconds. Science fiction starting now.
Suddenly, he turned into a frog. You'd never seen anything.
Paul Sanders.
a Grimm's fairy story isn't the same as science fiction. Yeah. If he turned into a spaceship, but Mr. Gobbledygook walked down the street and then turned into a frog... It's deviation because it's not science fiction. There's no science fiction in it.
And right. No, Paul, I've given the benefit of the doubt last time to Julian.
Yes.
You will have the benefit of the doubt on this occasion.
Yes.
He could be still going on to illustrate that it's all gobbledygook to him. But now I think you've said, once we get into the frogs... I think we've gone a bit too far. So you have got science fiction at the subject, and you have 24 seconds starting now.
Kurt Vonnegut wrote this wonderful book about a... Oh.
It's the first time anybody's got a round of applause on drying up completely.
It's me at my best.
Yes, sir. So you challenged first, Sue.
First I did challenge, yes.
So you've got science fiction, Sue. 22 seconds, starting now.
Kurt Vonnegut wrote a fantastic book in which Martians refused people the power of speech. And just as they were about to pronounce the title, suddenly their larynx was seized shut by an almost unnatural, preternatural bolt from above. Who knows what alien creatures were trying to do with our voice boxes, but nonetheless, they came...
Julian challenged.
Oh, I probably was wrong, but I thought it was repetition of voice.
Yeah, there was voice and voice,
voice
boxes.
Box.
Voice boxes is hyphenated, so I'm afraid that is repetition.
Would you hyphenate your voice box? Voice boxes, I would say one word.
Is it?
Yes. Yeah.
Will you...
Yes.
And this is Mom. Yes. All right. When...
His voice box is certainly not hyphenated.
I'm going to have Mob ruling in a moment. There's two ways of spelling it, but I think the voice box, according to the audience, is the more popular one. So we give you the benefit of the doubt on this occasion, and you have 8 seconds, Sue, to continue on science fiction starting now.
First they take the power of speech, then they come for your eyes, turning them instead.
This time he has got you, I know. What's the challenge?
Repetition of then.
Then there were two thens. Then and then.
Oh. Yes, they yes, will do that,
right.
Yes.
So, Julian, you've got in now with 5 seconds to go on science fiction, starting now.
The Daleks came down to land in a huge spaceship. It was remarkable.
Chris, you challenged.
I was expecting him to say something about frogs. In fact, it was on a hesitation. I think he had to think about spaceships there for a second.
Yes, it was quite a long...
I was building up to the...
I don't think it was quite long enough. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I will try and redress the balance later if I...
I'll find what I get a free point at some point.
Yeah.
Cool.
No. 1 second left with you, Julian, on science fiction starting now.
Out popped a four-legged Welshman.
Well, Julian Clary was then speaking as the whistle went, and he's moved forward, yes, rapidly. He's now equal with Sue Perkins in the lead, and they're 4 points ahead of Paul Merton and Chris Addison. Sue, we'd like you to begin the next round. I don't know whether this is your area of life, but it's leftovers in the fridge. Will you tell us something about leftovers in the fridge starting now?
If you have leftovers in your fridge, the best way of dealing with them is contacting Nigella Lawson, who can be hired for up to £40 an hour to just deal with them. Her incredible... I've got something stuck in my throat. Does that technically count?
No, darling. Something should have been left in the fridge.
Yes. It's a sheep's head I ate earlier. Seems to have got stuck.
So, Julian, you challenged first. What was it?
Well, out of concern, really. I suppose it comes under hesitation to breathe.
Yeah,
or...
I mean, was it? I'm afraid I mean, we have to be fair within the rules of just a minute. And although you've got something stuck in your throat, we do all know that.
Right.
You did hesitate.
So if I was choking to death, there would be a strict points-based system awarded to how many people could buzz over my corpse.
If you were choking to death...
It could be your final memory.
You'd be carried off in the ambulance and we continue the show with three people.
Good. Just so I know.
And will we divvy up the points? Or...
What I like to do on these occasions is somebody says something very apt and points. I get a round of applause as well. Chris Adams, give him a bonus point for that. Right?
Technically, that's two rounds of applause, so should there not be another?
No.
We must be clear here, though, Nicholas. Yes. So then, sort of, if another one of us falls ill, then we still carry on with the show. So eventually, it's just you.
Yes.
And Trudy on the whistle.
So if somebody had managed to poison all of you, I don't know what I'd do, but there we are. Let's...
Showtime!
Julian, 50 seconds are still available. Leftovers in the fridge starting now.
There aren't many leftovers in my fridge because I'm very careful when I arrange my food before I pop it in the pan. Exactly how much am I going to consume? I might have a little bit of fish, I might have...
And pause. Yes.
A repetition of I might have.
I might have, yes. Right.
Indeed.
And, Paul, you've got the subject. Leftovers in the fridge. 40 seconds available starting now.
I used to live opposite Brixton Prison and someone, I don't know who, had dug a tunnel from E-Wing to the back of my fridge. I used to get prisoners jumping all out of the fridge all hours of the morning looking for minicabs.
Julian Challenge.
Well, he's doing his act from 1979.
Yes. 1983, actually, and that's the best it's ever gone.
Julian, we enjoyed the interruption and the reaction you got from the audience.
Is it not deviation?
What for?
To do his act.
What?
It's not a deviant act.
How do I know he didn't... How do I know someone didn't tunnel out from Brixton to his fridge?
Yeah.
Well, where are the leftovers?
They've eaten them. You don't argue with Ronnie Cray over a packet of Baps.
No, Julian, what I do...
You should have that printed on a T-shirt.
Julian, I'll give you a bonus point because we enjoyed what you said and the audience loved it, and I've given you a benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt on this occasion to Paul. He keeps the subject. 31 seconds available. Leftovers in the fridge starting now.
During the war against the Germans, there were very few leftovers in the fridge. If we think about the diet of the ordinary Briton in those days, powdered egg, food rations of every kind. But they do say that people did have a balanced...
Sue Challenge.
Repetition of people?
Oh, yes.
Yes, the people, that's right, he repeated it. And... ooh, yes.
3 minutes ago, I was dying.
Those are the rules of the game. 17 seconds available, Sue. Leftovers in the fridge. Back with you, starting now.
Indeed it was so, and people were so hard up in the war that the Ministry of Food was called upon to broadcast to the nation to explain what they may and may not have.
May and may not, yes. Repetition, Julian, you were first in. 9 seconds available.
They're actually a pair of Taiwanese twins I was discussing. Does that count? No.
But leftovers in the fridge is the subject. Julian, you have 9 seconds, starting now.
It's always best to cover leftovers in the fridge with cling film, in my experience. This prevents...
Paul Chance.
Well, this is just deviation, because before he said he had no leftovers. In fact, he boasted. He boasted about it. Set himself up as some sort of domestic icon that we should all bow at the altar of how wonderful he is with preparing his food, and now he's putting cling film over leftovers. It's disgraceful.
No, Paul, to be fair, Julian, he did say he didn't have many leftovers. He didn't say he had none at all.
Really?
Yes. And the ones that are there, I'm sure, knowing Julian, will be all...
Yes, it's always about how much you know Julian, isn't it? Always about that, isn't it? My friend Julian. He puts cling film over his leftovers. Not many, just enough. Just enough for the two of us.
All right. Paul's worked very hard for that.
Wonderful. I did, I'm sorry.
Give him a bonus point. No. Junior, you've got a point because you were interrupted. You've still got the subject, and there are 4 seconds leftovers in the fridge starting now.
I opened my fridge the other day, and there was...
Paul, you challenged.
That was a hesitation,
That
sadly.
Was what we call a hesitation, yes. Paul, so you have 3 seconds on leftovers in the fridge starting now.
If you approach your fridge first thing in the morning, open the door, look...
So Paul Merton was then speaking as a whistle went, getting that extra point. He's now moved forward. He's equal with Sue Perkins in second place, behind our leader, who is Julian Clary. He's 3 points ahead. Chris is trailing a little, but they're all contributing tremendously. And Paul, we'd like you to start the next round. Oh, it's When I Am King. Paul, will you tell us something about that? When I Am King, starting now.
When I Am King, I will introduce a junior version of this show called Just a Minute Innie. And it will be very streetwise. And the kids today will listen to it and will refrain from stabbing each other in the streets as they try to talk on a subject without hesitation, repetition or deviation. The day I'm made king will be a very good 24-hour period for this country because I will be able to look each one of us in the eye and say, if you voted Boris for mayor of London, why can't I be king of Great Britain? And it's true. Divide a phalanx behind me, I'll kick Prince Philip up the arse. And I will also be very respectful towards the Queen and gently push her towards the abdication door. Prince... It's been an overthrow.
Vote Merton!
Chris Addison, new
challenge. Well, treason. And... repetition, yeah. Towards.
We get a bonus point for treason, by the way. We like that one. Yeah.
And, you get a bonus point for treason. You used to get hanged for that.
Not in Just a Minute. It's a challenge.
And what was your challenge within the rules of Just a Minute?
It was repetition of the word towards.
Yes, you were towards that and towards something else.
Yeah, it's part of my manifesto. I couldn't help it.
That's the problem with our
but you did go for 44 seconds, which was pretty good. I think we're going to let you go the full minute and see what happened. But anyway, Chris got in there with an excellent turn on treason.
Do apologise.
You've got 17 seconds, Chris, to tell us something about When I Am King, starting now.
When I am king, I will have to spend a great deal of my time answering awkward questions about how the people who consist of the enormous line of folk ahead of me...
Sue Chan.
Hesitation.
That was a hesitation, Sue, yes. Mm. There are 8 seconds still available. You tell us something about When I Am King. Oh, yes. Interesting, isn't it? When I Am King, starting now.
When I am king, I will have spent several painful years in surgery and post-operative care. But nonetheless, I will stride forward with a new body and say unto you, don't...
So Sue Perkins was speaking as the whistle went, has moved forward. She's still in third place, but only one behind Paul Merton and only 4 behind Julian Clary. And she's 2 or 3 ahead of Chris Addison. And Chris, it's your turn to begin. The subject now is Under the Sea. Tell us something about Under the Sea, starting now.
Visibility under the sea for human beings is awkward because of the salt water and all the fish in the way. You can deal with this problem by wearing goggles or by boiling the sea away bit by tiny... Yes?
Yes, I think you got away with it, Julian.
Well, was it not a general breakdown?
No. Only following the challenge, old chap.
He managed to wriggle out of it very well, and he was bit by something else. And 47 seconds still available, Chris. Under the sea, starting now.
There are many creatures under the sea. Oysters, dolphins, porpoises, dugongs, whales of many kidneys. Mainly 2, it must be said, since that is the standard number of that organ in any living creature. There are killers, greens, greys, sperms, blues, smalls, bigs...
Julian, you're challenged.
Where do you find the sperms? I know where I'm going for my holidays.
I think he was referring to sperm whales, but he didn't make it quite clear.
There's a lot of sperm in Wales.
So, Julian, what is your challenge within the rules of Just a Minute?
Oh, it's just messing about, I'm sorry.
I'll give Julian a point for messing about, because they enjoy it. Right, there we are. And, Chris, you were interrupted, so you have a real challenge, I mean. So you've still got it, and, well, you've never lost it, you've got the subject, so 27 seconds, under the sea, starting now.
Quite often, under the sea, there is very little but more sea, because vast areas of this planet's oceans are, in fact, enormous aquatic deserts with nothing, not even an...
Sue challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was a there, right. So, Sue, you got in on the subject of under the sea, 16 seconds available, starting now.
Under the sea, I found Julian with a pair of goggles searching desperately for a creature he'd heard mentioned in Just a Minute by Chris. Where are they, he said.
Paul challenged.
Hang on a second, when did you do this? Because Chris has only just mentioned it. So you then, in between you challenging, you went swimming under the sea with Julian, where you pointed out to him the thing that Chris had just mentioned.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, now I've thought it through, I'll withdraw my challenge.
So what is it within the rules?
Deviation.
It was deviation.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
No, you've established quite clearly it
absolutely
could not have possibly have happened.
Couldn't have happened, no.
It was an incorrect statement.
Have you never telescoped time, Nicholas?
Could be a looky-likey.
Yes. I've tried to, but it hasn't achieved it.
What could be a looky-likey?
That she saw that she mistook for me under the sea. A looky-likey.
She hasn't had time to go under the sea. Whether she saw you and looking like you or Jack Warner from Dixon and Dot Green. She hasn't had time to see any of you.
Well,
I think we should get back to playing Just a Minute. And Paul, we agree with your challenge. 9 seconds are still available. Under the sea, starting now.
The marvellous Walt Disney animated picture, The Little Mermaid, has this song at the centrepiece of the movie. Under the sea. It's a beautifully sung.
Well, we're moving into the final round. I tell you what, we'll come back for another show some other time. Right, so let me give you the score before we go into this last round. And Chris Addison, who hasn't played the game quite as much as the others, but did incredibly well, particularly Under the Sea. And he's just in fourth place. He's trailing Sue Perkins, who's two behind Paul Merton, and Paul's two behind Julian Clary. So into the final round. Sue, it's back with you to begin, and the subject is A Village Fete. 60 seconds starting now.
I once won third prize for best guinea pig at the Fetcham and Bookham Fete, which alarmed me, seeing as I hadn't actually brought my pet along. Maybe it was the downy facial hair and large front teeth that persuaded me, but nonetheless I returned home with a rosette, and it was the beginning of a lifelong passion for village fetes. I love the irregular vegetables, the ruddy farmers' wives, the limp bunting, the PA system whining, the endless rams displayed with enormous horns and breeding potential. Lest we forget, they're an extraordinary cornucopia of life at a fete. You cannot resist the incredible diversity. Mainly rural, mainly large people with nothing to do. But I...
Yeah, poor new challenge.
Sadly, there were two mainly.
We couldn't let the mainly go, yes.
Very quick.
They were letting other things go, but Sue, you were...
It was wonderful.
It was wonderful. You went for 41 seconds.
Great.
Right, give her a bonus point for the 41 seconds. Paul gets a point because it was a correct challenge, and he has 19 seconds, A Village Fete, starting now.
There's a village near to where I live in the country, and it's a beautiful fete every single July. You turn up and you see these heavy cart horses pulling great big gallons of beer behind them, and thirsty men are indeed...
Chris challenged.
Can you pull gallons of
beer?
What?
Well, they're in tankards, I mean...
Were they pulling tankards behind them? They're not liable to
spill.
Well,
when you say the milk,
how big are these tankards? Well, these people sound like drunkards in this village of yours.
Oh, I didn't say it was sponsored by the AA. there's no 12-step program. It's 12 steps to the nearest pub, but after that, you see.
What's your challenge?
My challenge is a deviation from what actually happens in life.
But I got the picture with these lovely big shire horses.
But my point pulling... is that you'd be pulling... the dray horses that Paul was so eloquently describing would be pulling carts filled with barrels, not gallons. He was referring to...
Well, there'd be gallons of beer in the barrels, wouldn't there?
I'm aware of that.
I mean, you don't say to the milkman, can I have a pint of milk? My God, it's in a bottle!
Well, all I'm saying is maybe we should.
Well...
No, Chris, I enjoy your enthusiasm, but I don't think...
It's not often you feel patronised at the age of 36, Nicholas, but...
No, I never patronise, I compliment.
Yeah.
And I genuinely enjoy your enthusiasm and your talent and everything else, and your good looks, if you want me to go into it.
Hey, get on board.
We can all claim that on radio.
Yeah, but... No, but it's good to let the listeners know that you are a very good-looking young comedian. And, but...
Should we leave? I think something's going on.
But that was an incorrect challenge.
Oh, fine.
So Paul still has the subject.
Oh, no. If he offers to groom you for stardom.
Honest, I've seen so many.
Paul, there are 6 seconds to go. A Village Fete starting now.
A queue of old women with Easter bonnets on their head looking...
Julian Challenge.
I think we had two old. I think we had old earlier on.
Did we? Why, how?
Yes, old men. Yes, yes.
Thirsty men.
Old, I think you had old farmers, didn't you?
I might have done, yeah.
Yes, and had some old farmers. So, Julian, you've cleverly got in with 3 seconds to go on a Village Fete starting now.
The best thing about a Village Fete is the knitted toys stall.
So Julian Clary was then speaking as a whistle when gained that all-important extra point. It was all important on this occasion because it's made a difference to the final score. And just to remind you, Chris Addison did extraordinarily well. And no, he did. He came in a most brilliant fourth place. And Sue Perkins in a magnificent third place. Paul, who often succeeds and comes out on top, he trailed a little but did wonderfully to finish in second place. But 2 points ahead... was the man who we call this week our winner, Julian Clary. Well, we do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and it remains me to say thank these 4 delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Chris Addison, Julian Clary, and Sue Perkins. I thank Trudy Stevens, who's helped me with the score and blown her whistle with such delicacy and aplomb when the 60 seconds had elapsed. We thank our producer, Talusha Galani. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game, and we're very grateful to this lovely audience of the Rose Theatre in Kingston-on-Thames, who've cheered us on our way, and I hope they've had a wonderful time. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Yes!